Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Hey, what's up, you sexy V's? You guys know what time it is. It's time for real talk. That's right. This is the quickest hour in internet radio where we go through and we talk about any and everything for 1 hour. Right now, you've only got me, Miss V, the toy lady out of the D. But I know we'll have somebody coming on later on. My co-host should be here shortly. But in the meantime, I have a gripe to talk about. And this is one that if you guys are listening, you could join the conversation at 646-716-8041 and let us know what you're thinking about. Oh, and don't forget, this show is sponsored by V's After Dark, the place where everyone comes. That's right, for all your adult toy needs, we got something for everybody at thetoylady.com, thetoylady.com. Come check us out, literally. I've got a gripe this week. How many people look at these KFC commercials? And they show these buckets of chicken. And you're like, when I go, my bucket never looks like that. Now they got the audacity to have the bucket in half and make it seem like the thing is fully full. When was the last time you went to KFC and the chicken was just all over? Come on now. You know good and well, you probably haven't seen a KFC bucket like that in a long, long time. But guess what? I ain't either. So I want to get on to the whole thing about KFC, what's going on, and what's on you guys' mind. Because I I'm waiting on my calls to get here because I read a fabulous book this week. If anybody has been watching, if anybody saw my Instagram feed, and we all know that normally I'm talking about the lions on there. I read this great book this week, and I think everybody needs to go and get it. It's a very short read, so for anybody who think that they need a longer read or can't get their attention kept, this will be a good place, a good book to read, and it's for adult literacy, so you know I'm big on that. But again, I am going to wait on, but give it a few minutes, see what my co-host is, because we all know that as soon as I get on a rant about something, I won't be able to see or hear nothing, and I won't be paying attention, and then all havoc will break out. I hate when this happens, but you know what? We all know that I like to keep everything going and keep it going good. This is Black History Month, and we really haven't talked about it. I'm going to play a little bit of Dr. King's speech because this is the last weekend of the month. I mean, next weekend will be the beginning of March. So for those of y'all who have never heard the I Have a Dream speech, I'm going to play it for just you guys to get an idea, you know, and to bring back some memories. And I will be back in a few minutes.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Today we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King, Jr. As millions of Americans honor his legacy today with a National Day of Service, we take a moment to reflect on Dr. King's life and message with his own words. As we did last year on the eve of a historic presidential inauguration, we now revisit King's celebrated I Have a Dream speech, delivered on August 28, 1963, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
That is, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivering his iconic speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on August 28, 1963.
I hope everybody enjoyed that. I had to share that because as we come to the end of Black History Month, I really haven't talked about it this year, and it's not been intentional. There's been so much been going on, and I've been celebrating it, and I've been observing it all month long. I just have not done it on the show, but I'm going to take this opportunity because if you guys were watching my Twitter, Instagram. I posted somewhere this week on my Instagram. I posted about a new book that I read, A Ain't Always for Apple. And yes, I did say ain't. That is the title of the book. It is an erotic adult alphabet book by the author Char J. The reason why I'm really talking about this book is because it's about adult literacy. And I'm just going to read you guys the introduction to this book so you will understand that this falls right in line with African American History Month. And I think this is a big deal for people to understand. This is the introduction to her book. According to a study conducted in late 2018 by the U.S. Department of Education and the National Institute of Literacy, 32 million adults in the U.S. can't read. 14% of the population. 21% of adults in the U.S. read below a fifth grade level, and 19% of high school graduates can't read. 19% of high school graduates, that right there is sad. Other research has shown that these numbers are higher among African Americans and even higher among African American men, age 55 and older. Some factors that contribute to poor reading outcomes include limited access to engaging reading material and effective reading instruction. A lot of adults, especially black men, are too embarrassed to admit they can't read and more embarrassed to do anything about it. So I thought, what would make someone read? Sex. I bet many have engaged in most of it, if not all of the activities in this book. So why not know how to spell and properly pronounce them? A Ain't Always for Apple. It's an engaging sexual alphabet book to help you learn to read. Enjoy, Char J. I actually did a review on this book. And before anybody asks, I was not paid. I actually paid for my copy of the book. This book was not given to me. I was told about the book. And I got a chance to talk to the author this week. And eventually she'll come on the show and we'll talk really in depth about it. The book is only like, it's as long as the alphabet. It's 33 pages long. So you got the whole alphabet, but I'm going to read something because me and her had talked about this, and I'm not going to give away the whole book because it's a quick read and I can spend the next 35 minutes reading this book and you guys would really be intrigued, but instead I'm going to go to the very end. Actually, I'm going to go to something that I think that everyone will want to know. I think the author just called in. She said she might listen tonight. But this book, all I could say is great things about it. I did my review. It's on Amazon. For anybody who wants this book, it's on Amazon. It's 10 bucks. I mean, you can't pass this book up. It's one of those things where you say, where would you put your money? I put my money where my mouth is, and I bet on this book wholeheartedly because this is a book that I would not – I've read it. I liked it. Hell, I learned some stuff, and I didn't even – you know, I'm the sex expert for most of the stuff. I do sex education to a lot of people. But adult literacy is something that I really don't talk about on this show. And a couple of months ago, I was talking about me not being able to do anything for a couple of weeks, and – I was talking about how I was going to have to read Michelle Obama's book. And a listener decided they wanted to try to insult me by saying they didn't know I knew how to read and I didn't sound like I read. And I was like, wow, what does a person who reads sound like? Because I'm an avid reader. I mean, I probably know more African-American authors than that person did, you know, because I am a Toni Morrison fan. I am a Michelle Obama fan. I'm a big Zane fan. I mean, Zane can't write too much that I won't read. But rest assured, you know, when someone says, wow, I didn't sound like a reader, I didn't know that readers had a certain way they sounded. But this person also went on to try to insult me with different things. And it was just like, no, I'm not going to play that game. But this is a book that I want people to read, you know. I'm going to encourage it. You know, it's already out on my Instagram. It's already out on my Twitter feed. It's already on my Facebook page. This is something that I want people to really engage in. And because we are in African American History Month, Black History Month, however you want to call it, we are celebrated this month. And this book is perfect for this month. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it or say, oh, well, this or that. I'm going to tell you. I read the book. I bought the book. I loved the book. I told my daughter about the book. My daughter looked at me and said, Mom, we don't want to have that discussion, you know, but I'm sure that if the book is laying here, she'll read it because she's an avid reader. I'm going to bring Randy on because we've got 32 minutes left, and I know Randy is going to want to hear about this. Hopefully he saw it on my Twitter feed. Hey, Randy.
Hey, beautiful. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing? Did you catch the first part of the show, or did you see my Instagram this week when I talked about the book that I'm talking about right now?
No, actually, I just got in. I just took out the trash, and I just figured I'd better call before the show's over. I think Greg
is at NASCAR this week. I was like, oh, shoot, I think he's in NASCAR. So. But I played Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech to start off the show because we're coming to the end of Black History Month, and I'm talking about this great book that I got this week. I highly recommend it. You should order a copy of it. It's called AA Always for Apple. See, I can't even pronounce the name of it, and it's real easy. But it's an alphabet book. It's an adult alphabet book, and I got a chance to talk to the author earlier this week who wrote the book, and it's all about adult literacy. This book was written out of love, and that's the best way to put it. This was a way to teach our people, everybody, how to read. And years ago, I used to teach adults how to read, so I know how important this is, you know. And the books I taught were, you know, Dick and Jane, C. Dick, C. Jane. And I'm going to read one of the letters. I'm not going to read what me and her discussed. But I'm going to go to letter R. R, raunchy. And I love this book because it has the pronunciation in here, just like the dictionary. Raunchy is an adjective. It means earthly, vulgar, and often sexually explicit. And it's used in a sentence. It says, which is how I like it sometimes, smack that ass, talk dirty to me, pull my hair, bite my nipples, and fuck me hard. That's raunchy. I'm letting y'all know that's just one page out of this book. I done read it about 3 times. I literally had to put it in my bookcase because I was supposed to be doing other things when I got the book. And it's a must-read. It's a teaching book. Hell, I learned a lot of stuff. It's only $10. I'm telling you, if you got $10, this is the best $10 to spend. Hell, this is the book that, you know what, this is the book that I would say that if I could recommend any book right now, which I could recommend a lot, but one that truly is appropriate for this month, this is the book for adult literacy. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, my daughter already read it. Well, no, she didn't read it. She's going to take it, though. I know she will, because that's just how my daughter is. I have a bookcase of books, and if I haven't read it already, she'll go and grab it. And if I have read it, she'll grab it. Literacy is a big thing. And in the African-American community, we don't talk about reading. You know, except that when I'll say something on the show, when I'm going to be, you know, out for a minute, and I'll say I'm going to read, I'll get comments about that. But aside from that, we really don't talk about reading. And unless you've grown up in a household where somebody's really pushing it, it doesn't happen. I remember when my children were growing up and we would go places, I probably was one of the first people to have an electronic Bible. And this was pre-cell phone, so this wasn't like that. You know, it was actually only the Bible. It was the King James Version. But my children knew that I used to keep it in my purse. And, like, if I would be at a soccer practice or some type of practice with my son and daughter, whoever was not practicing would be like, Mom, you got that Bible with you? And literally they both read the Bible. And they know the Bible. When I was going through college, my children were old enough when I finished up college where the books that I was reading in college, they were reading. So my children have been exposed to reading, but everybody is not exposed to that. So it was one of those things where I hadn't thought about it in a while since I hadn't been teaching in a while, you know. So this was refreshing to be able to get my hands on something that was a quick read. Like I said, it's only 33 pages, but Randy, put it like this. This is better than a porn film. It is. And it has illustrations in it also. I mean, I learned some stuff, and I thought I knew a lot. So anybody, this is not just for people who can't read. This is for anybody who wants to learn the proper language, the proper terms, the proper position. I've already had my gripe this week. I'm mad at KFC commercials. I'm tired of KFC putting the commercial on TV like they bet. Those of us of a certain age remember when KFC really came in a bucket, and that was the only way it came, and the bucket was full.
Yeah.
Now they're going to show a damn commercial, flip it around, show a chicken like it's always full. Now, it's been many a years since I bought KFC chicken. Last time I bought it, it didn't come in a bucket and was supposed to be like a 10 or 12 piece. And I think when I did buy it in a bucket, it didn't fill the bucket up. So either way, they need to quit lying on them commercials. You know, I think that is deceptive advertising. And I can see with the culture that we're in today, especially the way you're hearing people going off on fast food people, I can see KFC getting hurt. I could see a KFC employee getting hurt. We haven't heard about it because normally it's always McDonald's or Wendy's that they're doing something stupid at. But I could see you get the wrong person on the wrong day. I could see them going to KFC saying, my chicken don't look like the commercial. I want my box full just like that one. I'm waiting on it to happen. I'm waiting on the person to go in KFC and say, that bucket ain't look like the one on the TV. And they're calling them now. Fill me up. Really? for the price that you charge at KFC, I want the one that's on the commercial. I haven't been in a while. I'm doing very great because everybody knows I've been trying to eat healthier. Every time I get ready to go to a fast food restaurant, I remind myself I got a kitchen that I love. So it was so bad that I wanted to go out and eat today. And I was like, I'm not going to cook. I'm going to go out. And I was like, you know what, you lazy ass. You better go in there and eat what's in your kitchen. And then I remember I got a lot of stuff to do this week. So I was like, okay, if I cook tomorrow, because tomorrow's Meatless Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, I'm not going to be able to eat that because I was going to do a broccoli cream cheddar soup. Well, you can't take soup everywhere and hope somebody got a microwave for you to heat it up. So I was like, okay, that knocks out Tuesday, and that knocks out Wednesday. So I was like, what am I going to make? Then I was going to make my calzones again. I was going to do vegetarian calzones. Well, that would require that I leave the freaking house today to go get fresh vegetables because I didn't have no vegetables. Okay, that didn't happen. Everything I wanted to do, I end up not doing. Then I was going to do a rotisserie chicken. Well, problem is I didn't take the chicken out the freezer. So I couldn't have a rotisserie chicken. Speaking of that, I got a good deal on chicken this week. We got the Kroger grocery store here, and they have a Friday, Saturday special, and they had the whole chicken fryers for 69 cents a pound. It was a limit of five. So I got like five. Yeah, extremely cheap considering they're almost like $2 a pound now. I think I got five chickens for like less than $10. So for anybody who's thinking, oh, you greedy. No, I'm not greedy. For one, I've got two adult children who think that I am the grocery store. So those chickens will not stay in my freezer long. I give it 2 weeks max, and those chickens will be gone. Because, again, my house is the grocery store. Seriously, if they want something, they just go into my freezer. That's why I buy food the way I do, because my children don't think they have to go to the grocery store. Mom, what you got? Oh, that's I'm on my way over there. Okay. Mom, can I get this out your freezer? Sure. They come grocery shopping at my house. I am like the freak. I'm better than the food bank because they know exactly what they want is in the freezer. And they ain't got to pay for it.
You ever think about putting a lock on your refrigerator?
I've got two children. I love my children so much. And I buy more than I should, but I buy it because I know that they're going to come. And I'm in a position where I can help my children. I mean,
there's
if my mom
wrong
were
with
to say that she needs a chicken, I would give her a chicken, you know. I'm in a position where I'm able to help. And when I need a help, a lot of people help me. So all I'm doing is returning the blessings. So, no, I would never put a lock on my fridge or my freezer
okay.
for no reason whatsoever. Never. You know, I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, that's never even occurred to me just because I would never do that. I love my babies too much. I mean, every now and then the only time I get mad is if it's something that is a little bit that I got left, but that's very seldom because I only make enough for me to eat for a couple of days. So it's not like I make food for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I know if they
both
come
your
over,
kids
like,
are over under 30?
One is
both
30 and one is under 30.
Okay. I'm more
and
than sure you raised
them
right.
Houses.
I'm sure you raised them right.
That's because my children, my son doesn't listen to my show. I mean, he's too busy. You know, every now and then he'll get a hold of my cell phone when I let him have it. And he'll scroll through the pictures. And, you know, his biggest thing is that he has bragging rights to say that his mom knows all these porn stars. You know, that's like the highlight of my son's life. You know, I don't care what age. Think about it. I don't care what age you are. I mean, if your mom is good friends with a porn star and has their phone number in their phone and is taking pictures with them and stuff and ain't ashamed of it, for men, for girls, it's probably different, but for men, that's like a bragging right. Like, yo, my mom is good friends with Misty Stone. My mom knows Naomi Banks. That's just the stuff that, I mean, my son used to live vicariously through my Instagram page. He would sit there literally when he didn't live in the same state with me and troll me. I didn't know he was trolling me, but I found out later on that he was trolling me, and he was showing people. He was like, yeah, that's my mom, and see, that's who she hanging with, you know. He did that for years. I was like, really, son? You're trolling me? I was like, what do your friends think? That was before I gained all the weight. Now, you know, I don't put no pictures out there other than the Detroit Lions. You know, everything is Detroit Lions for me now. So, but I'll be back 2022. I will be back at ABN.
Okay.
Apparently, I have a new account rep for Exotica. They just sent me a thing. So I won't be doing Exotica this year. For one, Exotica Chicago is in April, and I won't be doing it. But 2022 will probably be the year that everyone sees me back out. You know, I'll be back in Vegas. I plan on doing at least one Exotica that year. But I think taking a break was a good break for me. I didn't disappear, so people know. And mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, I'm still Miss V. I'm still out here doing what I do best. I mean, the difference is that, you know, I'm not talking about as much sex. You know, I have my share of trolls right now. You know, being, I never thought that I would say this, but having a troll for 3 years has gotten on my nerves. And we're almost at the end of the troll who's trolling me. So, Bryan Cranston, you know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, think about it. I don't like you. And no, it's not the real Bryan Cranston. It's just a person who I call Bryan Cranston because he apparently is more in my business than anything else. I've been asking him if he wants to know what day I douche and how does my pussy smell, because he's more up in my business than I am. I think this man knows when I shit, piss, eat, and everything else, because he's told me everything that I should or should not be doing and how I can't do it. You know, I guess this motherfucker ain't never heard of painkillers, but Bryan Cranston, it's almost over. And if you want to continue to troll me after this, you are more than welcome, but you're going to see the real me after this. You have trolled me for 3 years. I'm so glad this is almost over. And I'm glad it's almost over because you have impacted a whole lot of fucking money, Bryan Cranston. And, again, I have chosen a name that this person may or may not understand. But I have a personal troll. And I know they troll me because they done told me they troll me. Hi, Flycatch. Welcome to the conversation. I see you up in the chat room. And I love this. Oh, for everybody, I forgot to tell everybody the chat room is open. I just glanced over. I haven't been in the chat room in a minute. But, wow. I love this show because we only go an hour. I love it because I get so much stuff off my chest in this hour. I love it because I'm not restricted to sex, even though I normally get sex in there anyway, because that's just the way I am. I don't think a good adult conversation is a conversation without sex. I just don't. I think that I should be able to say if you sniff in my pussy or all up in my shit, you know, I should call it the way it is. So, you know, for anybody who's offended when you hear sex, don't listen to my show, because that's what I will somehow say something vulgar or degrading on my show. If I say something that I don't mean, I will normally say, let's clarify this immediately. That's what I do. I do put disclaimers out there when I say something that someone may not understand. But I'm going to talk about everything. I'm going to talk about KFC. I'm going to talk about, I don't talk about the orangutan in D.C. That's what I don't talk about, because that is swearing to me. You know, I don't talk about that because I think that that's an area that would just piss me off. But I will talk about sex. I talk about menopause. We all know that I'm going through the early stages. I'm perimenopause. So every now and then I'll talk about having a hot flash because I'm still learning how to deal with them. I just talk about everything. I haven't seen no good porn lately, but I haven't been looking for any either. I ain't gonna lie. I will probably go back to AVN and not know who any of the porn stars are. I'm serious. porn has a bigger turnover than anything else when it comes down to the, you know, the adult industry. The average lifespan of a porn star, 10, 15 years top, unless you're Nina Hartley. Nina Hartley ain't going nowhere. And I love Nina. And Nina told me personally, she said she don't know what she would do if she had to get a regular job, because she's been doing porn since she was 18, and Nina is in her 50s now. But I love Nina, but she is a rarity. And she still wanted, but she also has switched over to doing more educational porn. So anybody who ever watches Nina Hartley, she does a lot of educational. I wish she would come teach on me, but, you know, Nina.
Oh, go ahead.
What was you going to say?
Oh, speaking of, you know, Zydeco this year is coming to D.C.?
Yes, I saw that. I want to know how that's going to work.
D.C.
I got the schedule. They actually invited me to set up for there, and I can't do it. For one, the DMV is not where I'm trying to be. Two, the DMV is not where I'm trying to be. And three, the DMV is not where I'm trying to be. The hotels are too much there. I mean, I think it'll be a good show. I'm wondering how well it will be accepted. But I figured that since it's going to be, let me look at this date, because I got the dates. I looked at the email and I was like, damn, they going to D.C.? That's the shit. they're going to be in D.C. in June. So you're going to be, put it like this, maybe you will get some of them damn politicians with the stick up their ass to go to Exotica, because they're going to be right there in June. I figured this, you know, maybe I should send this to the commander-in-chief since he likes porn stars. I mean, just saying, it's right there in D.C., but they're also going to be in Miami. You know, he can always take the jet down to Mar-a-Lago, and he can go down there because they're going to be in Miami in September. You know, hell, I mean.
Maybe you can meet Stormy Daniels down there if she's there.
I don't think he wants to see Stormy. Him and Stormy really ain't on like that no more. But it's going to be at the Dulles Expo Center, so it's going to be actually closer to the Virginia side, but it's still going to be hell of a... I mean, I looked at hotel space and everything. I couldn't see... If I were to do Exotica, I actually know what hotel I would stay in, only because we all know that I'm in D.C. quite a bit. And since I'm not going this year, I'll tell everybody there's a Best Western in Virginia that's right there on the parkway to go to Dulles. So that would probably be the best place to stay for anybody who's going to be doing the D.C. Expo, because if not, you're going to pay an arm and a leg. I think the rooms at that Best Western, and it's a nice Best Western, and y'all know I really don't do Best Westerns too often, but that's about, I think the rooms when I stay, but it'll probably be more. I think we pay like $150 a night. It might have been even a little bit cheaper. But for that area, that's a good price for the room, you know, for the D.C. area. So $150 for anybody that says that's not, for that area, $150 is a good price for the room. And the rooms do have microwaves and
refrigerators,
I believe. Yeah, I think. Don't quote me. I can't remember. It's been a few years since I've stayed there. But and it's right by the outlet mall. If y'all know me, if there's an outlet mall, I'm going to know where it's at. I don't care where I go. I can find an outlet mall. So it's about a half a mile from the outlet mall. But there's a bunch of if I would, I probably wouldn't even make it to Exotica, to be honest, because they've got all these vineyards there. And I'm a wine drinker. And in Virginia going towards, Virginia going into West Virginia, they've got a lot of vineyards. So that's probably why I probably would never make it there, which would be a waste of my money. But anybody who's going to Exotica, I want to know how it is this year. Apparently, they've had another shakeup in personnel at Exotica.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I just received an email from Exotica, so that's how I know it. Apparently, my money is much needed because they're sending me asking for me to come. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. You know, that's what happens when you pull your money away when you ain't making none. You know, I didn't have like $2,500 to just drop every year and not make no money. But Chicago, I will be back. 2022, I will be back. I will do Exotica. It will be a good Exotica for me. It will be my first one since 2014 when I go back. So it'll be almost 8 years. And I'll be back at AVN in 2022 also. And the last time I was at AVN was 2018. So the 4-year break and the 8-year break, nice little breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back. So yes, I did see that they were going to be in D.C.
Yeah, wonder how long that's going to be. How long that's going to be in D.C.? I mean, other places, they do 1 year and that's it.
Well, you got to realize that the reason why they're staple in Chicago and Edison is because they get good deals in both those places. And both of those, Edison is not a moneymaker for me. I will not do Edison.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantic City was where my fan, and anybody who knows my fan bases for these shows, my fan base came to Atlantic City. My fan base wasn't that great in Edison. As a matter of fact, I lost money in Edison, so I said I wouldn't do Edison again. As a matter of fact, Edison was horrible for me. So when you realize that people aren't making money at certain shows, and enough people say, hey, they won't do this show, then they have to pull out. Also, they have to drop these contracts. I mean, the regulations that are put on the vendors, I mean, we have a lot of restrictions as vendors, especially those of us who deal with the adult industry more than toys. You know, we're restricted to, like, what we can wear, what we can't wear, how we should look.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have to, not only are we paying for booth space, we're paying for our internet access. So, and we pay for our electricity. For anybody who doesn't understand, it's not cheap going to these shows. I mean, we put out a lot of money, so when I do a show, I look at what's out there and how much my return is going to be. And I have to pay people to go with me. So, you know, when you're talking about putting people up in a hotel room, plus you're paying them their hourly rate or whatever. Normally, because I am taking people with me, I pay for their hotel rooms and I pay them commission on sales. That lets me up a little bit, you know, it allows me some, but I still have to have me and my daughter there because I'm not letting everybody run my cash register, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And because I do take credit cards, you know, I have to make sure everything is ran right because Jersey requires that we charge sales tax. It's a big thing with Jersey. Jersey is hard to do. Chicago is easier for us to do. Now that they're doing it in April, I see them having a better crowd. They kept, you know, they started in July, then they pushed it back to June. Now they're doing April, so I see Exotica. I want to see how it's going to do in April. I know that July they were competing with Taste of Chicago, and that was one of my complaints when I went, was that, hey, you guys are competing with Taste of Chicago. If people got a choice, they're choosing Taste of Chicago. Plain and simple. They're not going to pay the $75, $80 to get into Exotica, you know, when they can do Taste of Chicago. And now that they're just going to be the only feature in April, they'll probably have more people. Again, I won't be doing it this year. I'll be incapacitated, so I won't even be able to. I haven't even followed anybody who's doing Exotica or anything. I really have cut back on. I went through my Twitter feed today, and I'm like, why am I following this person? And I actually, like, unfollowed some people today, and I haven't unfollowed people for a while. And it's not because I disliked them. It's just like, okay, I really don't want to see what you're doing. You know, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to unfollow people because that's the business page. But I'm like, ugh, I just don't want to have that on my feed. And I think it might be with age. I guess I'm bored. Flycatch left the conversation. But there are people don't know. It's hard to talk 4 hours when it's just you. What all do you talk about 4 hours, especially when we're not doing guests? We won't be doing guests again until next year, hopefully. I haven't set up guests. I haven't invited guests.
Mm.
Oh, and I got to put this out there because this is a pet peeve of mine, and it's not even a pet peeve. An individual, and I hope they're listening to the show because this is where I'm going to question friendship. First of all, if you ask me to have someone stay at my home and you pretty much don't tell me when, you don't introduce them to me, but then you think that you're going to move them up in my house, me and you ain't really been that cool. You ain't offered me no money, but you think I'm boo-boo the fool from like 30 years ago when I was younger and I just did stuff to appease people. And the fact that you haven't called me back shows me that I'm not really your friend. Because I should have to say no and you'd be okay with it. But see, you called me because you wanted something, because you thought I was the fool that I used to be. I'm no longer that fool. But you was like, oh, yeah, we can make some money doing this with your business, or we can do this. Okay, everybody knows that I will invest in a lot of stuff. But what I'm not going to invest in is something that I don't know about. You know, all of a sudden, why everybody I meet and dudes, I'm going to put this out here, why every dude think they're a damn porn producer? Seriously, dude, just because you got an iPhone or a camera don't mean that you can make porn. Seriously. I have been on enough porn sets to know what it entails, okay? I don't care what Taylor Swift has told the whole world because she did a video with her iPhone, okay? It ain't like that. You got angles to go at. I have been on porn sets where they have 3 cameras going, okay? Therefore, if you really think that because I know about the industry that all of a sudden you're going to tell me you got this girl and I can invest and I'm going to make money, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool? I already invest in film. And the films that I invest in are made out of state. And when I decide to go out of state, yes, I'm sitting on the porn set. I'm looking at where my money is going. And I'm looking at how my money is coming in. You don't even have a proven track record. You want to make porn. Everybody want to make porn. Oh, we could do Chatterbait. We could do this. That's making porn. Really? Everybody want to get into the industry. Then when I ask you a couple questions, hey, has she been tested? Oh, yeah, she STD free. No, is she industry tested? People, I've been in this industry for damn near too long. You can't tell me that some chick is not going to be doing porn and your ass don't even know what the testing is for the industry. You just can't do that with me. And then you want me to say, yo, we just going to do porn in your house. Really? Since when did I start doing porn in my house? You know, I've never done porn in my house. I go rent houses for that shit, and I don't do porn here in Michigan. I rent houses for this shit. But all of a sudden, now you're going to turn the home that I come to every day, the home that my grandchildren come to, oh, I want to have you here from strangers. Yeah, that bitch left a while ago. I just didn't even know. I had to get that one out of my system because it's been a minute. I just thought there'd be no. Yeah, that bitch is back in 1997 where you met her at, okay? This is a different bitch. No porn up in this house. But we're going to be out next week. I don't know if we're going to be on the air next week. All I can say is NFL Combine, here I come. So I will decide later on in the week. But until then, have a great week. But last word I got to say, order this book. A ain't always for Apple. And anybody who knows me knows ain't is a word that I have a hard time pronouncing. So I'm going to apologize for messing up the title, but it's A ain't always for Apple. It's just my pronunciation. No disrespect. That's probably the hardest word for me to pronounce. But everybody will be back, if not next week, the following week. You never know what I'm going to talk about. Holla, holla. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but that's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex.